you, Leia. This is usually when the kids like scamper out. There they go. And they're off. We should have like horse betting. Who's the first one? Just kidding. Good morning. It is so good to see you guys. Thank you for being here and braving the rain just when we thought it was summer and now it's cloudy again. But I was reminded this morning in scripture how it talks about how the word of the Lord is like rain and it comes forth and it produces fruit. And so I just pray that God blesses you this morning as we gather together in the name of Jesus, right? And we hear from the word and we're encouraged. And so praying that his word will go forth just like the rain. And also that we can go home and snuggle in blankets when we are done here. But if you have not already filled out a Connect card, I invite you to do so just so we can connect with you. And if there's ways you want to get plugged in or have questions, another thing, too, that you can put on the Connect card is any prayer requests. We are honored to share in praying for you and with you for things big and small that you have going on in your life. So that is another thing you can do with the Connect cards is write your prayer requests so that we can be praying with you. And you can turn those in either at the hello table where you walked in or put them in the joy boxes. That way we can get them from you. But a couple of things I want to let you know that we have coming up. The next 2 weeks are pretty fun around here. Fellas, especially listen up this next announcement. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. You're welcome. You have a week. But we want to celebrate. And I know Mother's Day can be one of those holidays that can be bittersweet for some people. Motherhood, the idea of motherhood, maybe relationship with your mom or kids. It can be difficult sometimes. But we do want to just honor the women because mothering looks a lot of different ways, right? So we want to honor all the women that are part of the dwelling or that come even visit for the first time next week. And so next Sunday, we're going to have a couple special things to do that. So we're going to have more of a breakfasty setup, and we're also going to have a place where we can take pictures. Because I know as a mom, all I ever want is to not be asked, what's for dinner, what's for breakfast, what's for lunch. And also, I just want one good family picture, just one. So hopefully we can make all your dreams come true next Sunday. And then the following Sunday on the 18th, we are going to have our next Starting Point class. And what that is, it's a time, if you're kind of new or new-ish to the dwelling, it's a time to come have lunch, first of all, because as you know, we love food around here. But also hear who we are, how we started, what our heart is, what we our prayer for being involved in the community is, how you can get connected and become a partner here. So if you have not been to a Starting Point class yet, we invite you to join us. I would encourage you to RSVP either through our app, you can get the Church Center app, or on the website, just so we know kind of a head count for food, if there's childcare needed, those kind of fun things. So yeah, but we are just honored that you have chosen one to be here, but that people are becoming rooted in the dwelling community, and part of being part of the dwelling community and what we're hoping to create here in Carson City is just generosity of talents and your time and energy, but also financially to support what we have going on here. And so there's a few different ways to give. Joy boxes, of course, we have on the side and in the back. You can give online or, again, through our app. So thank you for being faithful with your presence and financially and just helping build what God is doing here. So we are grateful. I'm going to invite my friend Bailey up. She is going to bring us the word this morning. So if you are able to stand, I invite you to stand as we hear the word of the Lord this morning.
I was hoping you'd have a card. That would be a disaster. Good morning. I'm going to be reading Matthew 5:10-12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord.
Be seated. Denise said Bailey was going to bring the word this morning. That's what I heard. You want to preach this morning? No? Okay. All right. Just checking. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. If I don't know you yet, my name is Michael, one of the pastors on staff here at The Dwelling. So just want to make a disclaimer real quick. If you want to grab communion elements, they're at the table over there. We're going to do that at the end of service. We do communion here every single Sunday because it's just a great reminder of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, right? So we are jumping into our last beatitude this morning. We've been in a series since the beginning of the year called The Kingdom Life, looking at the journeying through the Sermon on the Mount and starting it off with the Beatitudes, which is just a beautiful rendition, a beautiful picture and list of descriptions of what the kingdom of God is really like. But before we jump into that, because today's beatitude is kind of a challenging one. Jesus really is speaking directly into a really, really challenging situation for the listeners. But before we do that, I want to read to you an excerpt from a book that was written about lessons learned from experiences from this author in certain countries that have experienced severe persecution, severe challenges when it comes to professing faith in Jesus. So this is the testimony of Sheikh Baba, okay? The conversion of Sheikh Baba proved Christ's power to reconcile enemies to one another. When Kurds receive the kingdom of God, they must receive it as meaningfully as did Sheikh Baba. He was led to Christ by one of our helpers and later baptized by Dr. S.G. Wilson of Tabriz. Sheikh Baba was regarded as a holy man who many Kurds from the region of Sujbalak would visit to do homage. As a result of his conversion, the villages over which he held control had been all thrown open to our workers and a great welcome extended to our preachers and our missionaries. The author's name is Cohn. I told him that we would be holding a communion service on Sunday and asked him if he did not want at that time to make a public confession of his faith and to unite with us. He said it was a serious step, but he would think it over and he would let me know the next day. And then he sent word that if we felt he was worthy of this honor, that he would gladly be with us. Sheikh Baba arrived with a large escort of armed men who were stationed at the gate and entered with his brother and nephew, who had both been won to Christ. In that room, there were some 30 souls. There was Kurds, there was Jews, there was Assyrians, Jacobites, Chaldeans, Armenians, and one American. Never did Christ seem nearer. At the close of the service, I gave him the right hand of fellowship, and I explained what that meant. And then, to the surprise of all, this dignified leader of thousands, ignoring all others, stepped up to the Jew who had communed and kissed him. At that, the whole company broke down in sobs. To grasp the significance of that service, one must remember it was held in a bigoted, fanatical Kurdish city, where had the people known what was going on in that upper chamber, a mob would soon have killed every single one of them. Later during the war, when the Turks came in, the conversion of Sheikh Baba was reported to them. And when he refused to deny Christ, he was hung to a tree. And he was left there until the birds had picked his body clean. Samuel the Jew had also suffered a martyr's death in this case. Welcome. Today, our last beatitude Jesus chooses to list in this description is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Many of us today, profess to be followers of Jesus, and if that's not you this morning, that is totally fine. We're here. We welcome you. We're glad you're with us. But I think a question that this story and this beatitude prompts me this morning is, when you made your decision to follow Jesus, why? And I think that's important for us at times to think about that. When I reflect back on my life, you know, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13 years old in middle school. You know, and, you know, you can imagine as a 13-year-old middle school boy, you know, like, God definitely got to get a hold of you if a boy is going to say yes to following Jesus, right? And oftentimes I reflect on that as to why I made that decision. And, you know, for me, it was this situation where I didn't have a lot of bad things going on in my life, but I always knew there was something missing. I always knew there was something falling short with the life that I was living as a 13-year-old. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I never looked back. And so I think that begs the question for us this morning is, when we made that decision, why? You know, as I was preparing for this message for this morning, I was trying to think of like a witty, creative way to present this content, because it's not exactly the most like happy and rainbows and butterflies, you know. It's pretty challenging. It's pretty in your face. It's pretty, you know, it's like, it's not a thing that we actually want to really think about, is this idea of persecution, right? This idea of being challenged for our faith, but it is a reality. And I got a conviction from God saying, you don't need to craft it a certain way or sugarcoat it or try to be witty about it. Just share about it. Speak the truth in love. And so last week, we were in this other beatitude that said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God, right? So this idea of peacemaking is different from peacekeeping, because peacekeeping is this idea of just not wanting to disrupt the status quo, right? Not trying to ruffle feathers or kick up the dust in our lives. It's wanting things to just be even keel without conflict, without tension, without disruption. Well, the opposite of that, I believe, is this peacemaking, which to me, peacemaking is actually having the courage and the love and the humility to be bold in a situation and disrupt things for a certain time if need be, so that people and situations can be reconciled and remedied if they are not right, that justice could be had, that mercy could prevail if there is an injustice or if there is no mercy. That's the difference. So, for example, in a marriage, right, if something's not right, peacekeeping would mean I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm not going to, like, address it because I don't want there to be conflict. But if there is conflict in a marriage, it is, you know, relying on the Spirit of God and the courage to go into that and enter into that conflict so that things can be reconciled and remedied. Well, if we expand that, this idea of peacemaking, to a collective or even a communal context or a global context, there's a lot more risk and things at stake there, because you're dealing with several people and groups of people and nations and all sorts of scenarios, right? So to be a peacemaker is one who disrupts for a time only to bring about peace, connection, and justice. Well, it's not by accident that Jesus lists that beatitude last week. Not last week. He didn't list it last week. You know what I mean. And now today, he is continuing and finalizing the list of beatitudes with this one of, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because let's be honest, sometimes people don't respond positively when we try to enter in and bring peace, do they? Right? And that's really the big picture kind of focus for this morning, is that not everyone is going to respond positively to your hunger and thirst for righteousness or your mercy or your peacemaking, right? We cannot control how people are going to respond when we try to seek reconciliation and peace in our lives. It's inevitable. In fact, there are going to be at times when we are not only rejected, but we are opposed in that process. The world enjoys its cherished hates, its cherished persecutions and prejudices so much that the peacemaker is not always welcome, right? And so we're wrapping up this beatitude, or the beatitudes today. We have to remember a few things. One, that this is a poetic statement by Jesus describing what the kingdom of God is like and life therein, right? It's kind of, it's painting that picture. It's not a list of attributes to aspire towards. Jesus is not saying that, hey, you should aspire for persecution. You should aspire to be tortured for your faith. You should seek it out. No, that's not what he's saying, right? It's also not a moral list of like of moral things that we are to cling to. Like, blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, yeah, being poor is a good thing in and of itself, right? Or, you know, being meek in the sense of like holding our tongue. Sometimes like, man, we need to speak out, right? So it's not an exclusive thing. So it's not a list of attributes. It's not entry requirements into the kingdom. Like, Jesus is not holding up a list of things saying, all right, Michael, you checked off this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Oh, you missed this one. You were not peaceful. Like, that's not what he's saying. So he's not checking it off in the sense of it being a requirement into the kingdom of God. Or else Jesus would be sanctioning things like torture and martyrdom. And that's just not what he's doing. So Jesus is speaking to a very specific audience, and at the very end, when he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, immediately the audience is perking up, like, oh, I heard you on that one, Jesus. Because who is he talking to? He's talking to a group of people who are being oppressed by the Romans, that are being pressured and kind of bullied by the religious leaders. And so immediately they are listening in, because they are recognizing that Jesus is speaking to them. He is speaking to them. Jesus comforts those who have suffered undeserved persecution in this moment. And it is, so we know what it's not. We know it's not a list of things to aspire to, but here's what it is. The list of Beatitudes are not only an invitation, but a promise. An invitation for us to consider what the kingdom of God is actually like, and that it just might be better than the kingdom that we are living in the here and now. And the promise is that by trusting in God and surrendering to God, there is a greater promise in the process to cling to. So there's a lot of promises in Scripture, but there's also, you know, things that Jesus didn't say, right? There's also things that he did not promise, right? He did not promise that you would not have trouble, right? He did not promise that all your problems and difficulties would just go away when you said yes to him and trusted in him. He didn't promise prosperity and advancement in your workplace necessarily, or great wealth necessarily. He didn't promise that your sports team would win the championship, and that's to me, sorry. He didn't promise that your kids would always obey you and do everything you said, right? He didn't promise all those things. Yet very few promises that he did make are more poignant than the promise of God's kingdom to come. For God to be faithful to show up. And that the reward for embracing the challenge of our faith would far outweigh anything that we can experience on this side of eternity. That's the promise. That no matter what we face on this side of eternity would not be as great as the reward that we would face on the other side. You know, as you think about your life and as I think about my life, like, we might think to ourselves, I'm not experiencing persecution. I'm not being challenged for my faith. I'm not being ridiculed or outcasted because I claim to be a follower of Jesus. And that might be the reality. But the truth is, it is there. But it is one that is, I think, for some of us, a hard thing to make personal, isn't it? It is a hard one for us to kind of listen to what Jesus is saying and apply it to our lives in this moment in where we're at. But Jesus says, you will face persecution as a follower of Jesus on account of me. So Is there something in this text that is for us this morning? Or is he just talking kind of outside of us, out of time and space, for our own personal context? And I would say, absolutely. Absolutely. But either way, persecution is a reality in our world today as much as it was 2,000 years ago. And the truth is, there are millions of Christians, followers of Jesus worldwide, that are being persecuted in our world today that I pray we never lose sight of that gravity. I want to list a few statistics for you this morning. According to Open Doors International, in their annual ranking of 50 countries where Christians face the most extreme persecution, last year alone, almost 5,000 Christians were killed. Almost 8,000 churches and Christian properties were attacked. And almost 5,000 Christians were imprisoned for their faith. 1 in 7 Christians worldwide are being persecuted. And that could look a lot of ways. That could take a lot of different forms. That could be physical. That could be insults. That could be slander. That could be just resistance to gatherings. But it could even be more personal than that. It could be disowning from family. And that is quite prevalent in our world today. It could be losing a job or even the chance of advancement because somebody finds out that you are a follower of Jesus. And it would be a grave miss on our part this morning as followers of Jesus in the West to not at least recognize that there is a part that we play to pray earnestly for our brothers and sisters across the world. I think the statistic is that over 300 million Christians today are being persecuted for their faith. 300. And so we're going to do that here in a little bit, but it is something for us to consider this morning. Now, this is not to minimize like what we go through here in our own personal context. Like, I don't want us to be something where you're saying, like, well, Michael doesn't care about what I'm going through. Like, that's not at all. Like, we absolutely have our struggles, don't we? We absolutely have our challenges. We absolutely do have those barriers. And Jesus does have a lot to say this morning about our own context. So Jesus is reminding his listeners on something very, very important for us also this morning. And in case some of them and some of us didn't already know, that by following Jesus, it's going to be hard at times. It's going to be hard. Work in the kingdom of God is not always easy. Living the life that Jesus calls us to is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be just this smooth ride. It can cost us at times. But notice what type of persecution Jesus says is what you will be blessed for. He says righteousness, for righteousness' sake, is where the blessing comes into play here. Right? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That doesn't mean just being right for the sake of being right. He's saying, blessed are those who are persecuted because of me. Because of me. Right? You are being faithful to me, and the reward greatly outweighs the risk. Now, there's a difference between, you know, being facing opposition in our lives because of Jesus, and there's also a difference between being facing opposition just because we're difficult. Right? Like, some of us face opposition because we just like to pick fights or cause disruption, right? Or make things difficult for people. You know, I was working for a company a while back that was a supply company, right? And I was the team lead for this product support team that had 15 people on this team and all sorts of people from different walks of life. But there was this one guy in particular. We'll call him Mark, okay? That's not his name. And Mark, he was a Christian. He found out that I was a pastor, and so obviously let me know real quick that he was also a Christian, and you know, that it was awesome to know that his boss was a Christian and that type of thing. But I learned real quickly that in spite of Mark being a Christian, he wasn't a good employee. There was times where he was frustrating as an employee, didn't work hard at times, you know, was even a little dishonest at times with kind of how he was going about his job, rubbed people the wrong way a lot. And there were even times where I had to call him out and have hard meetings with Mark to say, you know, hey, look, this is happening and this has got to stop. And there was one day in particular, I remember, where he came to me and was just super frustrated, super down, super discouraged. And he said, man, everybody is just getting on me today. Like, everybody's coming at me. And this is really difficult. Like, I think I'm being persecuted here. And I thought to myself in that moment, I'm like, I don't think so, Mark. You know? And the truth was that he was facing opposition and having challenges and difficulties because he just wasn't a good employee, right? Because he wasn't carrying himself the right way. It wasn't because of persecution for his faith that he was facing these challenges in his job. So there's a difference, right? And I kind of make light of that, but the truth is there is a difference in this case. And so Jesus is saying, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake because of me. And so Jesus says, like, if you carry the banner of the Lord, you will face opposition. You will face this struggle. And this brings us to kind of like a sobering thought this morning, right? In light of that truth. So if you and I go year in and year out without some semblance of opposition to our faith, it does beg the question, are we really following Jesus like he calls us to? Like if we go year in and year out and we don't face that challenge, are we actually following Jesus like he's asking us to follow him? Do people know that you and I are a follower of Jesus? That's a question. It is a hard question, but it is in love. It is in love. Because following Jesus means that we are bringing mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful, right? It does mean that we are people who are pursuing righteousness. That's what he says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it does mean that we are seeking to make peace. So, when's the last time somebody asked you why you follow Jesus? Or at least, at the very least, asked you, like, what is different about you? Something is different, but what is it? And that's a sobering question for us this morning. But it is a question that we need to ask. You know, that's honestly, for us at The Dwelling, like, that's why things like baptism are so important. Because baptism is a part of this process of our obedience and our discipleship to Jesus and making this declaration of the faith that we have, professing Jesus. And it's a public thing. It's a celebratory thing. It's a very obvious thing in our process of following Jesus. And let's be honest, like, our culture can be convincing, can't they? Our culture can be very convincing to tell us that the greatest thing that we can pursue is comfort. That the greatest thing that we can pursue in this life is just, you know, the comfort of our homes, or the comfort of those that we like and enjoy life with and get along with. And there is some truth to that, of course. But it's not all true. And I'll be honest, like, I'd rather have comfort, right? I'd rather engage with somebody in a very comforting conversation without any disagreement or conflict. I don't mind it. I certainly can handle that. Like, there's some of us that are definitely shying away from that and don't want to have that at all. But let's be honest, none of us love conflict. None of us eat it for breakfast, right? Like, when I go and get a haircut, like, I go to Great Clips now. My mom was a hairstylist for a long time. There was a long time when I didn't know where to go for a haircut. You know, I'm embarrassed to say I went to Walmart for my first haircut out of college because I didn't know where to go. Don't judge me. But now I go to Great Clips. It's like, you know, a step above Walmart a little bit. And you know, the first time I went, you know, they ask you, of course, when you sit down, the chatty hairstylist, so what do you do? You know, and you're like, all right, here we go. You know, there's no way around it. Well, I'm a pastor, you know? And you don't know in that moment how that person's going to react. They could be, oh, great, that's cool, you know? Or they could be like, oh, you know? And they're the ones that got the scissors, you know? I don't know if I'm going to have an ear after that. Like, you just don't know. We all want to have comforting conversations. None of us want to have conflicting conversations, right? None of us want to be in those moments of discomfort. But it does, again, beg a question for us. How does this beatitude change our outlook in the lens that we look at life through, right? How do we pray? It should challenge how we pray. Because Jesus does say that if we are following Jesus, we will have opposition. He makes it plain that we will have that. But he also makes it very clear that we will have great blessing. That there is blessing, the fruit of the kingdom, when we trust in Jesus and when we recognize that as we're following Jesus and have that persecution, he is there with us. And that is the blessing that comes, is that he is faithful. So some of our challenges, I think, that we have in the here and now, as we look at our community, as we look at our culture, as we look at our country even, you know, the way that we might be experiencing persecution in our context in the here and now obviously is going to look a little different than what maybe the rest of the world is experiencing, right? For some of us, it may be in our jobs when somebody finds out that we profess Jesus. It may be that people challenge you because they recognize that you have a certain conviction that allows you to vote a certain way, right? There's all sorts of ways in which this might come about. But a question for us this morning, too, when it comes to that is, like, when we think about persecution, we might think of it as, like, our civil liberties, right? And that's not necessarily wrong, but I think it does beg another question is, do we care more about our civil liberties than life in God's kingdom? Because that's not always the case. That's not always true. That if somebody is challenging us because of the way we vote, that's not necessarily persecution. Because do we care more about our civil liberties than life in God's kingdom? Blessing comes because we hold to a greater promise, but it also comes because resistance can actually strengthen our faith and bring us closer to God. I'm not saying our civil liberties don't matter, of course, and our hard-fought freedoms, absolutely. But has our situations and circumstances made you and I too comfortable, maybe even passive or apathetic in our situation? Miroslav Volf is a Bible scholar, theologian. He said this, "All sufferers can find comfort in the solidarity of the crucified," meaning Jesus. "But only those who struggle against evil by following the example of the crucified will discover him at their side. To claim the comfort of the crucified while rejecting his way is to advocate not only cheap grace, but a deceitful ideology." In other words, again, it's not if, but when. And when we do, we should embrace and trust and cling to Jesus, because it's in that moment we find his grace and his faithfulness. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 4. "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God," this is verse 19, "keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you." I love that. So trust God with the results and do what is right. As we follow him in faithfulness, Jesus shows up. I want to say one last thing about this idea of persecution. I genuinely do believe that it does strengthen our faith. This idea of persecution can actually be a blessing because when we are challenged, we're strengthened, aren't we? When we face challenge, we are strengthened. When we face this resistance, our spiritual muscle grows. Our faith grows. Think about it at the gym, right? If you don't face this resistance or this challenge when you're working out, you don't get stronger, right? There was this example of trees. There was an experiment done by a bunch of scientists in what was called the Biosphere 2 project. It was constructed in the late 80s, early 90s. It was a large-scale, self-contained ecosystem that they were trying to test out the viability of an ecosystem within a biosphere in case, you know, because they were doom and gloomous, right? But the project was designed to study close ecological systems and to explore the potential for sustaining life in space. It involved a crew living inside this massive glass-enclosed structure in Arizona, attempting to simulate Earth's biomes and support human life in a closed environment. It allowed scientists to, like, test out farming, you know, like growing crops, and also innovation in a way that didn't harm the planet. One of the most profound discoveries made by the scientists had nothing to do with a cure for diseases or how to learn how to farm. Rather, the discovery had to do with the wind's role in the life of these trees. The wind. The trees inside Biosphere 2 grew rapidly, like more rapidly than they did outside of the dome. But they also fell over before reaching maturation, and they died and they withered. So after looking at the root system and the outer layers of bark, the scientists came to realize that a lack of wind in the Biosphere 2 caused a deficiency in these trees. A deficiency. Stresswood, right, helps a tree position itself for optimal sun absorption and also for the trees to grow solidly. Without these stresses of wind, the tree's roots could not grow deeper. And they fell over, and they withered, and they died. So in this case, they learned that stress from the wind was essential to them for them to thrive. I absolutely believe there is a profound spiritual implication here, an illustration to us, is that persecution always will strengthen the church. Always will strengthen our faith, even when it's hard, right? It never weakens it. Persecution causes the roots in our spiritual lives to grow deeper, those things that matter, right? That's the truth here. That's really the takeaway for us, is that blessing comes because our faith will be strengthened. So that is what it is for us today. Persecution is scary when we think about it, right? When we think about stories like Sheikh Baba, right? He knew that the risk from him going and converting to Christ was that he could potentially be ostracized or ridiculed or even killed. And of course, he was. He went to his death for Jesus. But oftentimes, the very qualities of life and hope that we long for come from these moments. They come from these moments. Paul said in Romans 5, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So, what is our end goal? I think it's a big closing question this morning. What is our end goal when we claim to follow Jesus? Like, why? Again, going back to the why question. Is it comfort? Is it prosperity? Is it recognition, praise? Like, what is the reason we go about our day and do the things that we do? Jesus calls us to be faithful. He just calls us to be faithful. You know, he says, "Blessed when you are and rejoice when you are insulted or slandered against just like the prophets of old. Well, the prophets, it was not glamorous. The prophets were ridiculed. They were killed by their own people. There was no glory in it, but they were faithful. They were faithful. So why do we follow Jesus and do the things that he invites us to do? I think there's a huge encouragement for this morning to us as we wrap this up. One, yes, we need to pray. We need to pray for those who are being persecuted, and we are going to do that here in a minute. But he also encourages us and says, hold fast and do not lose heart. And this is not just persecution. This is anything that we go through, any challenge that he says can be used to strengthen our faith. Do not lose heart. Hold fast and do not lose heart. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. I want to read one last scripture, John 16:33. You know, the only reason Jesus can say there's blessing is because he knows the end game. He knows the end of the story. And he says this in John 16, I have said these things to you, that in them and in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That is our promise. That is our truth that we cling to this morning. We are going to pray for our brothers and sisters across the world, but we are going to do communion first together. So if you want to grab your elements, what a better thing for us to do this morning than remember the suffering and the persecution that Jesus went through, unwarranted in the sense of his trial and his execution. Didn't deserve it. And yet he willingly endured. He didn't fight. He didn't cause an insurrection, right? He didn't cause a rebellion in the sense of this physical altercation. You want to talk about meekness, right? Power under control with humility. Jesus willingly went to the cross and endured for us. What are we going to do with that, church? What are we going to do with that truth? Are we willing to say yes today to respond in boldness and maybe take a risk to step out in faith for what Jesus has done? Maybe that's sharing with your neighbors and sharing who Jesus is. Maybe that's simply for the first time today saying yes to Jesus for yourself. Maybe it's to be baptized. I would encourage you, if you've never been baptized, to take that step. Fill out a Connect card and just write on there, baptism. You know, we'll be in contact with you on that. We believe the importance of that here because that is a public declaration of our faith. But also, he says, always do this in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread as this represents his body. And let's go ahead and eat together. In the same way he took the cup, he said, this represents my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Let's go ahead and drink together. And again, I want to just reemphasize one little thing this morning. Like, this is not to beat us down, right? This is not to help us think, oh man, well, they're facing harder things across the world, so they're doing it better than we are. That's not what I'm saying. Remember, this is not an aspiration for us. This is just for us to recognize that, one, we need to be praying, and two, at some point, you will face opposition when you are following after Jesus. But take heart, for he has overcome the world. So let's pray. Let's pray for us. Let's pray for those who are experiencing that across the world this very day. Let's pray. God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for today. Jesus, I thank you that you kind of laid it out bare, that we will face challenges and that we're called to rejoice when we face insults and slander on behalf of our banner that we carry, which is the banner of Jesus. Again, not because persecution is a great thing. It's a terrible thing. But it's because, man, we're actually following after you. There's a result of our faith there. And it is in those moments where we can be strengthened, that we can be rooted in, we can mature and grow, but also we can hold fast, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that you have overcome. And that the promise that we can hold to and the reward that we have on the other side of eternity is far greater than anything that we could ever experience on this earth. But God, we do pray for our brothers and sisters, for people that are experiencing this persecution, horrible things in our world, in places across the country, being ostracized from their communities, being having their houses and their churches burned down simply because they're having a worship service. We pray for those who are actually being killed because of it, that it still is happening. We pray for those who are losing family members, that are people are being disowned just because of their faith in you. Hold them fast, God. Give them strength. Give them courage, that your spirit would overwhelm them, that your spirit would overwhelm us, that it is for freedom that you have set us free. Help us to live with this bold love that comes from following you, from trusting in you. We love you, God. Help us to respond in a manner worthy of you in this moment as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, we'll have prayer afterwards, but let's stand and respond in song.